listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada. Today's message, we have Natalie Hefner and Chantel Brewer speaking on hearing God's voice.
Our lead pastor, Louis, is taking a day off to rest, which personally I'm pretty stoked about because he needs to just chill out for a second. And today, Chantel Brewer will be bringing the message to us. Whoop! Ooh, ooh. So Chantel Brewer is a wife to Mike Hot Lips Brewer right over there. He's the Studley firefighter. And a parent to Isabel, Elijah, Layla, Grace, Addison, Pearl the Squirrel. We call her Squirrel. And Sam I Am Brewer. Chantel oversees Kid Connection and serves on the Hillside volunteer staff as well. Most recently, she has completed her ministerial license application and ministry interview, and she passed it. And this is Louie. Booyah. That's actually in his notes, by the way. So as soon as it is ratified by the Four Square National Board, she will be functioning as a Four Square licensed pastor. Maybe not as well known is that her nickname, Queenie, was taken from the dog on the hit Tom Hanks movie, The Burbs. Watch it. And that is a great movie, especially around Halloween time. Okay, so God wants us to increase and improve our communication, my ability to hear, respond, and obey, intimacy and closeness of relationship. So basically being spirit-led, being honest, just communicating as you're led. And he wanted me to read Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, which says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. When we believe this, can't see anything but promise of God's is actually him and his voice. Our faith in him moves us toward acting on his behalf for his promises." Look at creation. Everything that God makes comes to exist, does so out of nothing. His word is the substance of the fulfilled, promised. Therefore, God addresses us on things know yet and not yet in existence. Our faith is revealed in action. Like Mason here. You got to go. Got to go for it. Got to move. There is an intimate and inseparable link between hearing God and acting on it. By faith, we demonstrate, we understand, and that we respond. Great encouragement comes to all of us when we hear God's word and bring it into action. Hebrews 11 is all about the great encouragement God's word brings when brought into action. It's not about the heroes of faith, about the great God we serve, but about the great God we serve. Speaking of heroes of faith, I would like to bring up and welcome one of my very best friends, Chantel Brewer.
Good morning. You guys hear me? So I'd like to clarify a few things. That's the truth, what she just said about me being one of her best friends. Can't stop it. Our husbands try with our 700 texts a day. Also, that is not where my nickname came from. Also, that's not the first time I've been named after a dog when I was. True story. My father named me after a Sandra Dee movie, When a Man Answers. And her name was Chantal, but he was like 9 when that came out. And so he said, they got a poodle, and he said, can we name it Chantel? And my grandparents said no. And he said, fine, I'll save it for my daughter. And he did. Also, on the Wheel of Fortune, when I was on there, I solved the puzzle standard poodle, and I think it's because of all of this experience, this poodle experience. This morning, I am going to talk to you about hearing God's word and what that has meant for me in my life. I have a couple scriptures to share with you. This was the weirdest sermon preparation I've ever had, because on Wednesday, Louis texted me and was like, hey, will you share really quickly? Actually, I don't think he said really quickly, but he implied really quickly, and so I just had the story in the back of my mind I was going to get up and share. And about every, I don't know, he was out of cell phone service, and so maybe like every 2 hours he would check in, and he would give me more to do. And I was like, I don't, what? He was all, so you're going to talk for 15 minutes and I'm going to talk for 15 minutes. So I was like, dude, my story is like 38 seconds. It's such a fast, that one time God talked to me, it was super fast. And he's all, no, it's going to be great. You're going to be great. And he just is the kind of person that when he wants something, he'll keep talking until you're confused and then you do it. I don't know. No? Okay. So I fell victim of that this week. And then last night, it whittled down to last night. It went to 5 minutes. He would be talking and I would be doing the rest. And then he would do 5 minutes at the end. And then it got to, I'm not coming. So God bless you. Actually, he didn't even say that. It's rude. I am going to talk to you about my actual experiences. I've had several. I've shared one of them with you guys before, but I'll recap it in a bit. Well, the Bible calls God in some sections. They refers to him as a lion, and he's so strong and he's so all those attributes of a lion. He's loud. I like that. His hair is probably big. I like that. But so many times it refers to him as a lamb, and there's reasons for that as well. And I actually have heard him through both voices. I've heard him speak to me as a lion. Sometimes it comes across as people are like, oh, God's always gentle. But and while I totally believe this scripture back here, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he also speaks to us the way that we need to be spoken to. And sometimes he yells at me. Sometimes he uses sarcasm. It's very loving. It's never without love. Always, actually, we speak in sarcasm to each other. I was reading through a journal. I write my prayers in a journal, and I revisit them very often. And when I pray, I will write, and then if I feel God is speaking, I put it in parentheses. And so going back, I mean, I don't remember praying these prayers or having these conversations, but there was one I just came across the other day, and he quoted Tommy Boy, and that maybe that's just what came into my mind. And what I said was, I'm sensing your sarcasm. And he said, I should hope so. I'm laying it on rather thick. And I thought, gosh, I appreciate that my God loves sarcasm. So maybe I added that part, but it was still good stuff. But he speaks to us in our dialect, you know, and Louis talked a couple weeks ago about a surfer pastor, and when he speaks to God and when God speaks to him, when he hears God's voice, he calls him, bruh, my story, that's cool, you know, that's how his God talks to him. I don't actually speak like that, so that's not the kind of conversation I would have with God. But I think there are times when he is the lion and it's more intense, and there's a time where he is the lamb and he approaches in because I need that tender approach. I need that grace. I always need that grace. But sometimes when he's more intentional, when he's louder, it means I'm supposed to carry that with me for a while. I think it's supposed to stick a little bit more. I've heard him several different ways, or I hear him several different ways. I have heard him audibly. I didn't actually know that that was weird until a couple weeks ago when I was, I think, the only person who raised my hand when Louis said, how many of you have heard the big voice of God, like actually heard it? And I was like, oh, yeah, oh. And, you know, and I asked for forgiveness for that little bit of doubt of, you know, being bold. But I didn't know that that was super rare, actually. And then I thought about it, and I haven't had a conversation with other people saying, oh, yeah, I have heard him. But I was driving in my car. I had 3 of my 5 children born and buckled into seatbelts. And we were in Las Vegas. We didn't want to be living in Las Vegas. And so we'd been praying for almost exactly 5 years to move here to Reno. And I heard God's voice and he said to me, your time here is finished. And I'm driving and I physically turned around and I looked at my children and they're all, you know, I mean, they were babies, but like, yeah, you know, they didn't hear it. I heard it. And I was like, what? Out loud, I was yelling, what? And I knew it was God. And I can't tell you whose voice it sounds like. I agree with Louis. It's not James Earl Jones, but that would be rad. And he said nothing else to me. And I prayed and I was like, Lord, what does that mean in my church? I'd been a part of my church there since I was 4 years old. And so this was 11 years ago. And so I said, is it our jobs, my husband's job, my house? We'd only owned our house for about 2 years. And I didn't know what that meant. Your time here is finished. And so I'm literally yelling, my time where? As I'm driving. Where? What are you saying? What? Nothing else. I got nothing else. And so I had this sense that it meant all of it. And so that sense was another way of God speaking to me. I needed to hear him so clearly, almost like he made that burning bush burn so that there was just no doubt who was speaking to me. I needed it to be that clear. And I needed it to be that clear for my own faith, but also for my husband's faith, because I got to go home and tell my husband, because this was going to be news to him. And so I drove through Starbucks, as you always should when you're making life-changing decisions. And I went into their recycle bin, and I gathered all of their boxes. And amazingly, they had just gotten this crazy huge shipment, and they had already broken down all of the boxes, and they were stacked really nice in this recycle bin. And I was literally in the dumpster getting these boxes out that are perfect for, books and kid stuff. And then I thought, well, what am I going to pack the rest of our stuff in? And actually there were, there was a dentist office next door, and they had gotten these brand new chairs, rolling chairs that came already assembled. And so there were the other size boxes that we needed that were about this big for everything else. We didn't have to buy any boxes. And so I went home and I started packing, and my husband walked in and I was packing, and he's all, what are you doing? And I was all, God said our time here is finished. I don't know anything else. I just know we're supposed to pack. And he thought I was totally insane. And I think it was probably October or November or something. And I said, here's the deal. Our house was so cluttered and dirty. I was a stay-at-home mother of three very small children, two of them that had been born in an Irish twin situation, except for I don't drink. And so it wasn't any fun. They were just really close together without that good time. And I said, here's the deal. How about I pack up all of our clutter, and then our house will just be clean. And then if down the road we decide we're not actually moving or leaving, then I'll just unpack it all or get rid of it. And so he agreed. And our house was clean for a couple months. And by February we moved here, and he had a job, and he was enrolled in school in the fire academy up here. And so that's how God works. It was crazy and it was insane. And in that time he had lost his job. They just stopped paying him. And he took a job up here, and we moved, and he came home one day and said, if we're going to be broke, let's go be broke in Reno. And so we brought our babies and moved here, and we were broke in Reno, and that's how this legacy of the Brewers has come to be in Reno. So that was my one audible experience. And then I have dreams. I've dreamt for probably the last 8 or 9 years. I've had dreams that they're not always super clear to me. And I very often go to Moses, and I'm all, hey, Moses, what does this mean? And God will talk to me about, I've known when people are going to be pregnant, when they are pregnant, and I've gone to them and said, this is weird, but are you pregnant? And they're like, oh my gosh, I am. How did you know? And I was like, we don't need to talk about it, but I'm praying for you. I've dreamt about deaths, and that's a little bit heavier. That's a lot heavier to take. And again, I went to Moses and Noel, and I broke down in their living room, and I was like, I don't want to dream about people dying. It's the worst. It's just the worst. And then when they actually show, a few days later, months or whatever it is, and they actually die, was I supposed to do something with that? And usually it's no. Usually my dreams are just for me. I'm supposed to carry that information between God and I. Sometimes Louis, I share things with him if I feel like it's things that affect our church. But I'm just supposed to pray. When you have these dreams, or you think of somebody in the week, or you've got these things that are dropped on you, that's God talking to you. That's his voice saying, look how busy you are, and you just thought of this really random person you haven't thought of for a long time. Call them up. Shoot them a text. Invite them to coffee. Invite them to dinner. Invite them to church. Tell them Jesus loves them. Tell them this lady with really big hair said, if I thought of you this week, I was supposed to call you and say something. They'll want to meet me. It's fine. So, but Moses, I'm pointing over there because that's where his wife is. When he translates dreams for me, that's God speaking to him. That's God's voice in Moses' life that affects me. And that leads me to the next way that I have heard God. Sometimes it's just an understanding. And it's just this nugget that gets dropped into your heart. And sometimes it's relentless, and it just won't stop coming up. You turn on the radio and they're talking about it. You go to church and someone says something about it. You listen to a teaching and it comes up in there. You're eavesdropping on the guy next to you and he's talking about it. And it's like, what? I feel like there's a message here. And if I took my dunce cap off more often, it would be really obvious a lot of times. And it isn't, but I, when, as things occur to me and I start to put those, connect those dots, the Holy Spirit is really faithful to help me to understand what that means, because I've asked. I make myself available and I ask. I say, is this something I'm supposed to be paying attention to? Grandma Patty, I think she, is she in with the nursery? Oh, so she has spoken into my life. People at this church have spoken into my life and said things to me that I need to take with me and either pray on, or they give me clarity on something that God's already been talking to me about something, whatever it is, and what my goals are for my family, or what my goal is for myself, or what my ministry looks like, or am I supposed to be working on this book, or am I supposed to be working on this book, am I supposed to be writing for these people, or whatever it is, what job am I supposed to have, and people here speak into my life, and so many times you guys don't even realize it. And so be encouraged that if you feel like you have, just in conversation, something to say to somebody, if you feel like, I just encourage you to say it. Just say it. Be that example. Be obedient to the Lord so that he's able to use the words that come out of your mouth, which means that we have to be on guard with our conversation. This is the story I... When I was seven, I was in my classroom and I had all of my stuffed animals lined up in a row, and I had a chalkboard on my door, and I was teaching my stuffed animals some stuff, important math or something. And I had a clipboard in my hand and I was writing things on it. And all of a sudden God spoke to my heart, not audibly, but I knew it was his voice. And he said, you're going to teach. Your job is to teach. And I didn't have any idea the entire time really that was God speaking to me until later. You know, now I know, and I am in fact a teacher. I'm actually a fifth grade teacher right now during the week. And more recently, I started praying about what kind of teacher I'm supposed to be, because it occurred to me, because God said so. And again, we're in the middle of worship, and I felt like God dropped this little thought in my mind that, good job. You did a good job. You are a teacher. You did exactly what I asked you to do when you were seven. I went to college. I got my teaching degree. I got a job as a teacher. And then he said, but you didn't actually ask me what that looks like. And so I was like, oh, you know, I was like, oh, is this not a congratulations Chantel story? I thought that's where this was going. And the point of all of that is, when God speaks to us, talk back to him. Don't just sit. Do something with that. And sometimes there are more questions that we need to ask. And sometimes there are, and I think Louis said this, I've been upstairs and with the kids a lot, so I've missed some of his teaching. So I apologize if I repeat what he said, but sometimes we need to do something with what he's given. Actually, all the time, if God speaks to you, you're supposed to do something with it. Again, it can look differently with my dreams. Like I said, those aren't usually, I don't go up to somebody and be like, hey, I think you're going to die. Or, you know, like, I think your mom is going to die, which that one happened. And my mom texted me from her funeral, and that was super creeper. But I needed to pray for my friend. Her mom was going to die, and I knew that. And I needed to pray for my friend so that she would feel supported, especially because she, as it turns out, was pregnant and didn't know it and had been trying for like 7 years to get pregnant. And so I had this great news I wanted to share with her, and God said, no, I'll take care of that. And so I wasn't like I was like this message deliverer. My job was to stand in the gap. My job was to pray for this girl, knowing what was coming. The final way that I gain understanding, and this one actually usually comes first, and I don't even know if he knows I do this, but I listen to my husband. That's advice for anyone here who's married or not. I listen to the men in my life. I was raised by four very strong men. My mother is a very strong woman, and her and my dad worked a lot, but I've got three older brothers who have always been the boss of me. They probably always will be the boss of me, and sometimes I say, you're not the boss of me, but it isn't true. I'm not going to fight it. When you're the only girl and the youngest, it happens. So, but I value what they say. My middle brother is an incredibly strong Christian man who is very discerning about where God takes him and what he's supposed to be doing with his life. And I've always looked up to him. He's always been set apart for me. And I really value what he says. Louis was placed in my life 11 years ago because that brother and Louis spooned in a bed in Mexico because it was the only bed available. And I thought, that is from the Lord. That knowledge to share every time I get up, I'm going to say that story. Especially if he's not here. If he's here, maybe not. But all of that is based on that knowledge that I have. It's based on the confidence that I have in Christ. In Colossians 2:2, it talks about God wants to take away the mystery that's out there. And he wants us to be standing on what is solid. And that solid, amazing thing is Jesus Christ. And the way that we find that is all of these things. I pray for my husband to have the answers for our family. That's how I pray. I don't pray that God would give me the answers. I pray that God would give my husband the answers. Because the fact is, I'm supposed to submit to him the way that I submit to Christ, the way that I submit to the church. And if I believe that and I feel that, then when he comes to me and he says, this is what I think we're supposed to be doing. I don't think we're supposed to move to Reno. I do think we're supposed to move to Reno. Whatever that answer would have been, I would have submitted, hopefully. It just worked in my favor. But hopefully, I would submit to what he says. And even when there's been times where we haven't really, you guys ever not prayed about a situation, you just made a decision? All right, just me. So even when that has been clear with us, I'll give you an example. When Elijah was born, we decided to be done having kids. Elijah's 14. There are three more that came after him. But we had decided that, not in prayer. We just decided that. We had a boy and a girl. Seems good. We can be done now. And God clearly had another plan for us. But even when we don't pray a situation, my husband, God still gives him the answer. There's never been a situation in our marriage, and we've been married for 19 years tomorrow. Thank you. There's never been a situation where I thought, wow, my husband really took that the wrong way. Not ever. And I so appreciate that. And I think part of it, I know part of it is because of that prayer, that I cover my husband in that prayer so that he can be the one to discern for our family and listen to God. Recently, this really crazy, in our worship, all through worship, and Chris was talking about being willing to do anything, and this is a book I'm reading right now. It's called Anything. And I took a couple quotes out of it for today's teaching, and I just thought that was really amazing. It is when you get to the point where you say, God, I'm really, really willing to give you anything. I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. And when you really mean it. And recently, the city of Detroit has been coming up in conversation. That was one of those things where it was everywhere around me. And I was like, what am I supposed to be doing with this, God? Why do I have this knowledge? Am I just supposed to pray? And I was watching the pastor's convention via live feed, and they actually commissioned two families to go from Foursquare to go and plant churches there and live in that community and help them, because there's so much chaos and there's so much crazy and the devil is just having a heyday with the oppression that's happening in that city. And I feel like there's something there that I might need to be a part of. And I happened to mention that to Sean Lear, and he's all, that's really funny. And he pulls out this file in his computer of article after article. He's got a Pinterest for Detroit. I'm sorry, that wasn't supposed to be common knowledge. I love when guys have Pinterest. It's my favorite. And so he has all of this, and I was like, well, and so then it turned into an assignment. We work at the same school, so then it turned into this big project for my students, and then all of a sudden my brother's also involved in it. So on Sunday, the three of us are actually taking a mission trip to Detroit, and it's the weirdest thing I think I've ever taken a step forward on, because I don't know anything about it. I have no idea what we're supposed to be doing, except for I need to get some photographs, and I need to get some video footage and talk to a couple teachers while I'm there, but I have no idea. So we contacted Foursquare, and we were like, hey, we all are part of Foursquare, and we all work in education. Is there something you guys could use us for? And they were like, oh, yes. We have so much. We have so much. How long can you guys stay? And we said, 2 days. Make it amazing. I got to go camping. It's spring break. And my boss accused me of being simple-minded in an evaluation. Not Louis, a different boss. And I was all, he's all, no, that's a compliment. And I thought, okay. And he goes, I guess I don't mean simple-minded. He said, I think you're basic. He said, you break things down to a really basic way, and then you teach them. And I thought, okay, well, I'm an educator, so I'll take that as a compliment. And I thought that actually came up when I was praying about what to share with you guys. And this is God's word. This is how God speaks to us. If you want to hear God's voice, this is where you start. You know, we've prayed. You're here because there's something already. You've already taken some first step, whether it's just walking in that door or actually praying to receive Christ and starting that relationship with him. But he's given us all of these words, top to bottom, left to right. We get to read them and know. And God says, ask and I'll make it make sense for you. He said, ask for wisdom and I'll give it. That's it. Ask for wisdom and I'll get it. I'll give it. Isaiah 61:1-4. You can infer a lot from these verses. It says, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me. If he's upon you, then you can hear him. For the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. If this is our job, he's speaking to you, right? He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed, which means we have something to say. Proclaim means shouting it out. It doesn't mean just feeling it. He's given us something to say. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, a festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. That's a lot. God's spoken in these four verses. He's given us a lot to say. That's him speaking to you. And even if this is the first time you've heard it, now you've heard it. You get to take that information with you. There's times where you'll feel like you aren't hearing. And it could be because God's needing some space. There's no space. When you're not hearing, it means there's no space. It doesn't mean that you're not qualified or it doesn't mean that you aren't chosen. There's none of that. God chose you. He loved you first. He wins. He wins each of us if that's what we decide to choose and follow after. And so I'll just ask, examine your heart. Examine your heart and decide, are there things in my life that are keeping me? If maybe it's just busyness. You know, it could just be busyness, and God's not about the busyness. He's about the being and the still. And he won't compete. He'll cut away, actually. He'll cut away what keeps you from him because he is so jealous for you. He is so jealous for you. He wants nothing else to take his place. Sin, idols, selfish ambitions. And so I always hear in these songs that I won't be shaken. But that's not actually always true. I mean, I get what the songs are saying, but there's a verse in Hebrews that says he actually shakes us so that only the strong remains. And that's him. That's Christ. So he shakes away all this junk that we pile onto our lives or all of this nonsense that we put in his place. And he'll shake us up and he promises that we won't fall and he promises to protect us and keep us. But he doesn't just let us sit in it. He loves us too much. And so if you feel like you're being shaken up, things aren't going the way you think, figure out what's supposed to be cut off and cut away. And that process will go a whole lot faster. I had to learn that the hard way about 75 times. Last week, 75 times last week. In Psalm 91, it's just my most favorite verse for our church. I pray it all the time. I pray it over my family. I pray it over all of you, our church, over Louie and Joni. In Psalm 91:15, it says, when they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. When they call on me, I will answer. That's pretty straightforward. We have to call on him and then he will answer. He doesn't just throw it all out there. But in verse 14, right before there, it tells us because The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. If those are things that we're wanting, this rescue and this protection every day, we have to call on him. And then we have to wait for an answer. We have to be willing to hear. And so I encourage you to cut away. Ask God to reveal to you. He says, ask for wisdom and you get it. That's it. And then be still long enough so that you can hear his answer. And don't be my son, Samuel. He's amazing. Spend time with him. Your whole life will change. But he says, can I have that? He's like four. This is a real conversation, not made up for this teaching. I said, sure. I don't even know what he was asking me for. He said, can I have that? And I said, yes. He's all, mommy, can I have that? I was all, oh my gosh, son. You asked me the same question three times right now. Will you be quiet and listen to my answer? Because every time I would answer him, he'd start talking again. He didn't hear me any of the times. Can I have that? Sure. Isn't that a great answer? Isn't that what you want to hear? Take it. Take it. Go away. But oh my gosh, I do that with God. I'm all, Lord, I want whatever. I want to teach, Lord. He's all, here, I got this for you. I'm all, Lord, it would be so great if I could teach. And he's all, I got this for you. And I'm like, just if I could teach somewhere, let me hear you speak, Lord. And he's all, hey. No? Okay. God doesn't have a foam finger. That would be amazing. He is my cheerleader, though. So you have to be quiet. You need to have a conversation with God, but you have to take in what he's saying, mull it over. Read your Bible. If you don't know what he's saying, read your Bible. He's already told you, like, I don't know, this one is really tiny writing, and there's like 1,000 pages in it. So, I mean, even if you have a big print Bible, you'd be like 1,500 pages worth of words from God, but he said it. He says it to you. And then it's important, if you are not hearing from God, that you ask yourself, do you want to hear from God? Maybe not. Some of us here woke up really early to get to church, got our Bibles, dressed churchy. This isn't me dressing churchy. These are my jeans. I needed like a big hat. And we came and we sit, we have coffee, we mingle with people, we do all the things, the order of the service, and we do all of those things, and we're pulling it off. We're pulling it off. We're hearing the worship, we're hearing the prayers, we're hearing the communion words, but hearing is something that our actual physical ears do. God made us do that. He made there's these little tympanic membranes in there, and they rattle against our eardrums, and they reverberate sound, and it's so intricate in there. And so hearing is what our physical bodies do, but listening is what our hearts do, and we don't allow that. We'll ask all this stuff, or we'll keep talking enough so that we don't actually hear, or we don't actually listen to what God has to say, so then we keep our conversations with him vague. Lord, give us a good day. Okay. Lord, give us traveling mercies. Okay. What does that even mean? He's already promised to protect us. Read Psalm 91. It talks about that he's this eagle all around us. We don't have to ask for that. That's a promise he's given us. Ask him for something meaningful. I find that my prayers get really vague when I don't want to hear what he has to say. I know there's something he's saying to me, and I get real vague, and then I cut and run. You know, he's like, I'm all, hey, you know, Lord, speak to me. Oh, I missed it. I'll be back later. I'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. But when we pray anything, like Chris was saying in worship, like we were singing in worship, when we pray, take my life, that's ramifications. There's things that come with that are heavy. When we don't want to hear what those, any, Lord, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do with my life? What's my great calling? What's my great commission? Where am I going tomorrow? What job should I have? What are all of these things I should be doing? And we stop up our ears. We shove them with cotton so we can't hear what he has to say. Because what if our anything includes being single for longer than we want? What if it includes not being able to have a baby? losing your spouse. Having a baby for a little while and then losing them. Or staying in a marriage that you hate. That happens. I can't see my notes because I'm crying. My husband and I had 3 miscarriages. We have 8 babies. That's a lot of babies. But they're mine. You know, that's something that we had to go through. And as I turned over those babies 3 times, each pregnancy further and further along and dealing with that and, all right, Lord, what are we doing with this? And then I get to turn around and I get to take that crazy and that pain and I get to talk to women who didn't know it was so common. I can say to them, it's all right. We've been through this. We'll hold you. We'll love you. I'll pray with you. What if it means that your kid gets sexually abused? What if that's their story? And I know I'm not saying that that's God's plan for them. What I'm saying is these things happen in people's lives. And what do we do with that? If we're listening to God and we're hearing from God, and what he's saying to us is you're going to need to go through this for a little while. What do we do with that? Do we stop our ears and when we run away, or do we say to him, Jesus, the example that you set in that garden where you said, take this cup from me, but if you're not willing to do that, I'll stand. I'll keep going. I'll hang on that cross. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what it is. We all have excruciating stories. But Jesus did it. He was willing to keep going and following through, and he did it. And I think he is my ultimate example. And he was willing to risk everything just so that I don't have to die like that. I get heaven. I get Jesus. And my heaven's already started. When I go through junk, I get peace. It's already started. When you've heard, like Natalie was saying with Hebrews 11, when you've heard, it's by faith. It's by faith that you hear. Every one of those verses in there starts off, by faith, Abraham moved. By faith, Moses held out his stick. By faith, every one of them, by faith, by faith, by faith. If you don't have it, that's okay. God said you need the tiniest bit of a mustard seed. That's what Jesus recommends starting with. It can be that tiny. I appreciate that. I read a quote that says, to risk is to willingly place your life in the hand of an unseen God and an unknown future, and then to watch him come through. I'm going to read that again. To risk is to willingly place your life in the hand of an unseen God and an unknown future, and then to watch him come through. He starts to get real when you live like that. That's real. When you risk everything and you say, Lord, I'll listen to anything you say to me, and then I'll go and do it. I'm going to close with these 2 quick verses. Philippians 4:9 says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. When you learn and receive what you've heard, that's when you get God's peace. And 2 Corinthians 10:17 says, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This one's a struggle for me. I'm praying. Lord, do these things. And then he does these things. And I'm all, look what I did. And he's all, hey. And I was all, oh, I was just kidding. Sorry. I want to boast just in Christ. When we sing about hell, where is your victory? Where's your victory? My God's got this. I hear that. I read that. I sing that. I see that. My friends talk to me about it. My family talks to me about that. That's what I receive. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the words that you spoke into my heart to be able to share. I thank you that you speak to me, God. That's miraculous to me, that you want to talk to me and spend time with me. I pray that I would always pay that back to you. In that way, that I would be eager to spend time with you, that I would recognize what a gift that is. I thank you that I get to spend eternity with you. And Lord, I thank you that we get to spend eternity with you. I thank you that you're eager to speak to us and have us move and be world changers, even if it's just to encourage somebody. That changes that person's world. Even if it's to pray with someone who's crying, that changes their world. If it's to stand next to somebody when they're going through a divorce, or help somebody move, or teach some children who are difficult, or volunteer in the nursery, or that, those things, Lord, those little things that we get to go and do when you nudge us to move forward, whatever our calling is in our work or our homes, in our roles as spouses or parents or sisters or daughters or sons or brothers. Lord, our roles, because of what you are doing in us, because of what you are speaking to us, have the opportunity to change the world. I pray that we would just get on that ship with you, Lord. We would sail wherever you take us, that we would really mean it. And when it's excruciating, I pray that rather than being frustrated and angry, Lord, that instead we would turn around and we would thank you for the example that you set in sending your son to die on the cross. We love you so much, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Happy Sunday.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us at web@hillside4.org.